Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What, When, Where, and most importantly, Why. I've been asking that why word my whole life. And last week I discussed being a woman who has the physiology and the hormonal system to have a baby and be a mother. And I made my plea to all women to rethink their value as a woman and to realize that it is the woman who is the caretaker of the children. And it is the woman who is the mother who nurtures that child from the moment they take their first breath and become a living soul here upon planet Earth. It is always it was always meant for the baby to come out of the birth canal and be put immediately upon the heart of the woman. But in today's so-called advanced technology, the baby is slapped on its bottom and taken away from the mother and put in an incubator with all sorts of other advanced technology attached up to it, when all that new little soul needed was just to be put in the arms of its mother and get an immediate download of sensual information, which would activate the baby's sensual body. And tearing that baby away from the mother at that critical birth moment has resulted in all of us being shut off from our sensual self, and none of us ever realizing that we are sentient beings with capabilities to live multidimensionally in unity consciousness with the entire creation. You know what, though? If that mother can just get out of that hospital as soon as possible and get home and start to hold that baby to her heart as much as possible, nursing the baby and uniting with the baby so that that new little soul can begin to acclimate to its new surroundings, it will be wonderful. Because you know that new little soul who just comes to Earth has just come from the realms of total unconditional love and support. They haven't known lack of any kind, not any lack of love, any lack of attention, any lack of appreciation by others, any lack of material supply, no lack of being able to have all their needs, fulfill their desires, no lack of self-esteem, no lack of food, clothing, or shelter, no lack of fun and laughter. They come from a realm of perfect peace and total caring, where everyone is loved for exactly who they are. They come from a realm of unending ways to learn and seek out the truth. And if a man and a woman have decided they want to have a child and they have rearranged their circumstances in order to make a place for this child in their life and allowing the woman to stay home and take care of the child, then that couple is looked upon by the councils of incarnation as a prime place for an eternal soul. And this couple is offered to all the little souls waiting to be born, and one eternal soul will choose that particular couple. But then that little soul would then be devastated if that couple later on decides not to stay together. It creates a rip in their cosmic skin suit that is nearly irreparable. It's like a hole in their atmosphere, if you will, that will either be filled in with trauma that rules their life from then on, or the hole is patched with some program of self-determination to try to protect themselves. And many eternal souls who are of lower energy, desperate to get back into a physical body to continue their addictions and their selfish or victim agendas, just wait around in these halls of incarnation, just looking for any opportunity to get back into a physical body. So all of those oops pregnancies, all illegitimate children are usually these souls of lower vibrational energies who get to come here, souls who are not really ready yet in their experience to contribute anything to the quality of our life here. They are parasites who just milk the system of all available resources to sustain their futile life. I believe that only as women as a species begin to unite their energies together in a collective consciousness as women, that we can even begin to stop all illegitimate children. We have to stop the birth of all these illegitimate children. Yet we live at such an important time on the galactic clock. It's time for us to move forward now into realms of unity consciousness. And we need all of the newly wired indigo and crystal children to get here and to help us make the transition. But this brilliant plan of the managers of the manipulation and control system to get the woman out of the home and into the marketplace so that their children would all be put in daycare centers and not nurtured and loved or taught anything, really, until they're old enough to go to school, where then they'll be judged ADHD or ADHD and be put on drugs. That system is working. And the higher vibration souls have been left unsupervised while their mother is at work. And the media bombards them with visual and technological trash to keep them entertained and to keep their creative minds actively engaged in base and lewd pursuits, guaranteed to corrupt and destroy their virtue and their integrity and their honesty, actually the entire value system of their divine essence. You know that current song sensation, Blurred Lines, that is sweeping around the world today? That's just an excellent example of this. Blurred Lines. Let's not have any definitions anymore. Let's let everything be blurred. No standards, no boundaries, just naked women and animals. Any type of sexual encounter is okay. And the games that are available on our phones and our computers today are created with a premeditative, addictive power to them. So that one of the most advanced parts of our world of technology is not being used for its wealth of information where we can be informed and learn about anything, but is reduced to an addiction of playing Four Dots or Sugar Crush. One of the most important reasons for a woman to be a stay-at-home mom today is that the forward-looking woman is going to be homeschooling her child, because the children who are being born today are a higher evolution of our species, and they do not fit in the current school system. The children being born today have more than 20 pairs of codons. Now, a codon is our genetic code of DNA and RNA. We have the capacity to make 60 pairs of codons, but currently the bulk of the population only has 20 codons in operation. You can look this all up on the internet. Just Google codon, C-O-D-O-N. The first studies about this were done at UCLA, but very soon all attempts to study this further were shut down by the powers of domination and control. However, the kids coming in today have 21 or 22 or 23 or 24 codons in operation. And they are wired very differently than we are, which is why they are all on Ritalin and have been diagnosed as ADHD, because they are. They are wired at a much higher vibration. They fit into the technological arena that we've created. They get it. If you don't know how to use your cell phone or your computer or your smart TV, just ask your five-year-old. He can do it. Actually, they are special needs kids, not in the way we've been taught to think of someone who's special needs, but truly they are special, as they are able to focus their attention like a laser beam into one area at a time. And each of them has a specific area of expertise that they will focus that energy into. Their special need right now is to have a mother who is up to date on what is really going on, and she is protecting her child and making sure that their child is getting everything they need to grow into the special gifts and talents that these kids have. There are wonderful programs on the internet today. I just listened to two of them. You can listen to them at sovereignmedia.net. And for a modest $8, you can listen to 2.5 hours of information that will alter your life forever. And if you are a mother and homeschooling your child, you will gain information that your child will already understand. And making them know that they are being helped galactically will encourage them to move on into their own powers of self-expression, and I say, the sooner the better. You know, there's no way to fix anything here on Earth right now. All the systems need to just fall down and die. But these new little souls coming in today need to be taken out of the school system and homeschooled and taken off of drugs, which will allow their genetic coding to operate the way it should. And we will need to have mothers back in the home to supervise all of this. The mothers of this planet need to take charge, yes. But we need to take charge of the children again. We need to get back into the home and rescue these eternal souls who have come to help us advance towards an environment of peace and harmony and cooperation among all people. Why do you think the creators of the current domination and control system wanted to get the mothers out of the home in the first place? They knew these kids were going to start coming in. They were reading the handwriting on the wall, even though none of us could see it yet. And they knew that they were going to have to find some way to dominate and control this new generation. So they created this situation where the woman no longer felt like she was important in the home, and they encouraged her to go out into the marketplace and compete with the man, because they also knew that the men would not be able to take this flood of feminine energy in the marketplace. The entire balance between the sexes would be upset. And this would set up another whole different set of crises. Situations of sexual harassment, sexual predators, conflicts, betrayals, adulteries, crimes of passions, murders, rapes, with women trying to fight for their rights in a place where they don't belong. Getting the woman out of the home and into conflict on the battlefield with the men set up new warring situations between the sexes. And as long as the sexes are at war with one another, there's no peace or harmony in any place, not in the home, not in the marketplace, not in the community, not in the nation, not in the world. War has always been a necessity and actually a very critical part of the agenda of those who wish to dominate and control. And since we now have a president, praise the Lord, who will not allow our country to be taken into war anymore, so the wars had to be created in the local arenas. Because as long as we are using our energy to fight for something we think we deserve, that we believe we don't have, we will not have any energy left to resist their powers of domination and control. This is the plan. And women unwittingly have been drawn into the conflict. So this new generation of evolved species of humans will all be put on drugs and not be able to bring forth their specific gifts and talents that will liberate us into being in our full power of sovereignty and control of our own destiny, and be in any true freedom of individual expression, operating in our sovereignty as a spiritual being in a physical body. Well, all of that was my introduction tonight to the show. Because now we're going to look at what being in our full power of sovereignty means. What does it mean to be fully in your own power as an individual? What does it mean to have power as an individual? What does it mean to be sovereign? Well, interestingly enough, according to Roget's thesauruses, it basically means domination and control. So what has happened is that we have surrendered our sovereignty to the government, to the media, to Hollywood, to corporations, pharmaceutical companies, and to our religion. And we almost have no sovereignty left. Government feeds our children breakfast and lunch at school. Government pays people to not work who have manifested all of the diseases that the pharmaceutical companies have invented. People take welfare because they can make more money on welfare than they can make working. Government builds $600,000 houses to house border control agents that are all sitting empty, while the common man struggles to pay the mortgage on his upside-down house. And the statute of limitations is almost set to run, and not a single bank or banking family has been arrested in the absolutely criminal actions that happened in the mortgage banking business. The media keeps us in a state of crisis every moment with breaking news. The police report about all the rapes and murders and burglaries and child molestations and kidnappings and terrorist activities, and reports from the Fed about our money, keeping us worried about how we're going to be able to make it. You do know, don't you, that the Fed is not a part of our government. Our government's sovereignty is submitted to the Federal Reserve Board and the World Bank. And Hollywood now has such a lewd standard of humor, it debases every element of our society, from teachers who take drugs and have sex with their students, to every woman hopping into bed with every man who comes along for a quick sexual fix before she's shown with the blood dripping off her fingers after killing the terrorist, while the semen is still spilling out of her vagina. The pharmaceutical companies are coming up with new diseases every day that require us to take their drugs. Ask your doctor how our drug can help you. Who's in domination and control here? Your doctor used to be like a member of the family. He knew you personally. He knew about the latest trauma that had just happened in your life, which coincidentally is when the terrible headaches started. Now a doctor's just an agent for the pharmaceutical company, and there's no mind-body connection made in any doctor diagnosis today unless you go to a holistic practitioner who understands that we are more than a physical body and who will get to the cause and core of the symptom rather than just drug it. So to begin to take back your power as an individual will mean that you will begin to disengage from all of the systems of domination and control that are managing your life right now. And to do that, you'll need to have an identity that is strong and steadfast, able to perceive and discern truth, and in your sense of identity to begin to stand for what you know to be your truth and begin to speak your truth and live your truth. So how do you find your truth? Well, let me ask you some questions. And I'm going to use the additional information about the word sovereignty from Roget's thesaurus to ask you these questions. And then sovereignty additionally means unsurpassed, incomparable, top-notch, supreme, matchless, champion, the highest degree of excellence. So, what do you do that is incomparable? What no one else can do as well as you do? What about you is top-notch? How are you a champion? What do you do in the highest degree of excellence? How are you unsurpassed in your life? Can you make something that is so unique that people say to you, you should make these and sell them? I know a woman who can sew anyone, anything. And this woman is always on the edge of bankruptcy. In fact, she's taken bankruptcy so many times she can't take it anymore. So she lives from one fearful moment to the next, 3 months behind on her mortgage, having her electricity turned off, and driving without insurance. But she makes the most adorable things for her granddaughter that I have ever seen. And I know they would be a sensation on a baby web page on the internet. She could just turn to herself as her source of her own special gifts and talents. Another way to define sovereignty is in the name of or by virtue of. Now, in the Christian religion, Christians pray in the name of Jesus and in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, or in Jesus' name, because they do not feel any sovereignty of their own as a son of God. So they invoke the sovereignty and power of the name of Jesus to try to get their prayers answered. But Jesus said, "Know ye not that ye are God's? Man shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass." Jesus came here to show us that we were all sons of God with all the same powers and authority that he had. And he said all of his power came from the Father, or from source, and we are connected to that source ourselves by our breath. It's our breath that makes us a living soul connected to the source of all there is. It is that source that starts the beating of our heart. Jesus said, "The things that I do, ye shall do, and greater things shall you do." Why do you think he was crucified? The powers of domination and control had to shut him up. And since then, they have made Jesus something we are not, thereby disconnecting us to the source. They made him born of a virgin, which made him some other kind of a creation than we are. And they made him the only begotten Son of God, which makes us something other than a Son of God. And the Catholic Church even went further and made it so people couldn't go directly to God, but had to go through the priest, who had to go through the Pope. And there is also a scary connection between the papacy and our supposed constitutional government, that if the truth were really known about it, it would make everything that you believe about your freedom of total non-effect. So part of this disconnecting from the systems of this world will make it so that when the full disclosure of the true power behind these systems today is revealed, and that day is coming, you will be standing steadfast in your own sovereignty and not be affected by the revelations at all. Jesus said to be in the world, but to not be of it. Now, in my marriage ceremony, I say, by virtue of the power vested in me by the state of California, I declare that you are husband and wife. Now, that is the sovereign power of the state that is given to me by virtue of my ordination as a minister. It's always been curious to me that in a country that purports to have separation of church and state, it still allows an ordained minister to carry the power of the state to the people. In Mexico, couples get two marriages, one from the state and one from the church. And that is true separation of church and state. But here we definitely have blurred lines of power. So I think that new song, Blurred Lines, is making fun of the dichotomy that the young kids today see in our society. It's a dichotomy as a splitting of the whole into mutually exclusive and contradictory ideas that highlight the difference between the theory and the practice of something. So these kids coming in today see right through these contradictions in our society. They see that everybody is saying one thing, but they do something else. Who walks the talk today? When it comes right down to the day-to-day practice of each and every person, who is living their truth? Because I don't think most people even know what their truth is. Do you know what makes you number one as an individual? Do you know how you are top-notch as an individual? What would you list as the things that you feel give you value? How are you different from everybody else? Each of us is a unique creation that has unique gifts and talents. What are yours? How are you using them? I asked a male friend of mine if he felt that he was operating in his sovereignty at his job, and he said no. He said he was precluded from operating in his own unique and critical wisdoms in his job. First of all, because the legal department tries to keep the company operating at zero risk tolerance, and also from all the other company policies and rules and regulations that really limit his scope of influence and power to do what needs to be done in his specific job. These are values, systems that corporate calls created values, and they are subject to trade-off by decision makers or bargaining process. It's what keeps the stockholders and the unions happy. And he says he feels like he's always having to submit to the group rather than to be able to offer his unique abilities to do his job at his highest standards of excellence. And this makes him angry, and it makes him work more like a robot and not in his personal sovereignty. Well, I had lunch this week with two of my girlfriends, so I asked them this question. How do you value yourself? I told them I was going to be doing this show tonight, and so they shared with me. One is married and has four grown children, all independent and on their own now, and she now runs her own florist business. And the other woman was just divorced, has no children, and she has a high-powered job in the medical administration field. The businesswoman said she feels that she was a good mother and she gave her children a foundation to allow them to now go out and experience life for themselves. She is totally accepting and non-judgmental regarding her children's experiments with life. She's now established her autonomy as a self-sufficient woman. Even though she is married and her husband makes good money, she says she enjoys running her business and making her own money now that she has raised her children. And she has also learned about investing and having her money make money for her. She works from her home, and she says she enjoys being her own boss and making her own rules and regulations and being able to operate at her highest level of excellence, creating new and beautiful ways to decorate with flowers, providing services to brides or people who have lost loved ones, and making all celebrations more beautiful with flowers. She has stacks of magazines on her coffee table of the way the world uses flowers to beautify and decorate, and she's constantly looking for new ways to use flowers. She recently made a headpiece and a small bouquet for me for my bride's five-year-old daughter that was the most lovely I have ever seen. And if I knew how to reduce the size of my photos to fit the requirements of Blog Talk Radio, I could show it to you, but I haven't learned how to do that yet. She also constantly challenges herself to stay young and healthy by participating in regularly scheduled strenuous hikes with local hiking groups. At 65 years old, she can keep up with the best of them on 8 to 10 mile a day hikes up and down our mountains here in California. And the one she did last week at the beginning of the hike was a mile straight up to a landing, and then it went around and around the mountain. And she said it only took her 20 minutes to do that first mile straight up. Wow, she just amazes me. She's a very open-minded 21st century woman who can consider an idea without having to accept it. She allows each person to express, and I have so enjoyed her friendship because I know I can say anything and express some of my most off-the-wall ideas, and she listens and never condemns or judges me. She has her own standard of values that include being top-notch in her field, unsurpassed in the local area for service, delivering her bounty within hours of receiving the request. And if you would line up 10 bride's bouquets in front of me, I can pick out the one that she made. It has a distinctive, incomparable design that makes it stand out from all the others. She and her husband have been married 35 years. It is a second marriage for the both of them, and she has survived periods of his childish behaviors with patience and long-suffering. She has stood firm in her position as his wife and allowed him to mature. Women have taken a terrible bashing for standing by their man in the face of childish or just plain stupid male sexual behavior. Women who do not have a strong sense of their sovereignty seem to take offense when their husband cheats on them or has sex with another woman. But it just amazes me how ignorant most women are about the male species. Suffice to say, in this discussion, some men have a monogamous gene and some don't. You know, men come from the animal kingdom where the system of domination and control is through sexual pursuits, because the male animal knows that he's only going to get a female if he's the best. And the human man, who is only operating with 20 codons at this point, still feels those pulses to provide his worth, to prove his worth sexually. And the answer to this problem is for women to unite in their own sexuality and stand together in total respect for one another, then no husband would be able to get another woman to have sex with him once she found out that he was married. In fact, no woman would even have sex with a man until she is married. This would end all of the whoa, whoa, whoa in the world between men and women. We've heard our whole life about the good old boys network. We need a good old girls network, because this would end the illegitimate children, abortions, adultery, mistresses, and crimes of passion. We would just need to add in legalized prostitution so that single men would have an outlet for their sexual needs. So see how just one woman can change the world? Just my friend the florist, standing in her sovereignty, makes a statement that eventually solves all the problems of the world. The other friend at lunch has just been through a devastating divorce. Her husband is a cop, and cops do not have a lot of respect for women in the first place, because cops know that women think they can manipulate and control the man, but really, man can and do and still are easily manipulating and controlling the woman. He apparently had been steadfastly, secretly stashing away investments from his private duty work so that he could get the divorce, even though he would have to give her half his pension. And I don't know the reasons for the divorce. What I know is that people change. She has never had children, so her adult life has been as a nurse. And now she is an administrative medical manager at the highest level of our healthcare system. Her definition of her value is that she is excellent in what she does. She believes she does it better than anyone else in her field. And she actually has helped to develop the systems of patient care that all hospitals use now. She is currently integrating what she is learning about Obamacare into what is already being done. And she says she is very successful professionally. She says she worked hard to get where she is today and she makes a lot of money. But she says that she is also very well liked at her job and she has many, many friends. She values herself as a good friend. And she and the florist have been friends for 30 years. In touch and supporting each other through all these years. She is a tall, beautiful 65-year-old woman who is still standing strong in her identity, and she feels she has value. She has just bought a new home of her own and will be settling in soon to decorate it and make it personally hers and her own private, secure, sacred space. And she's going to continue to work because she's so good at what she does. And she is a forerunner of influence in her field. And certainly at this critical time in the healthcare system of our country, we need experienced and well-informed people at the top to help us get it better. So when I began to think in terms of my own value, I have to say that I have never felt that I couldn't do something. I think maybe I came into this life that way. I seem to have always known that if I could think it, I could do it. And almost everything I have done, I have worked it all out in my mind first. I meditate about it and I think something all the way through, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, and then I do it. I value myself, first of all, as having been a good mother. I have three children who are stars in each of their arenas. I also was the woman in the world who was instrumental in Dr. Lester Sumrall of World Harvest Ministries getting the first FCC license for 24/7 Christian television in the world. And I was present in our TV studio that day when the very first RCA color televisions in the world were delivered. They had the serial numbers of 00000001, 00000002, 00000003. And we hooked them up, and we were the first to broadcast in color that week. I also volunteered in local politics and helped to create grassroots political techniques that are still being used today. And President Obama took those basic grassroots systems and greatly enlarged them using social media and other technological advances of today to empower his election and re-election as president. I had my own TV show for 3 years in the Midwest and San Diego, being producer, director, editor, and on-air host. And my show was seen on community television. Now, anyone can go on community television and have a TV show. The FCC provides a special channel for community access. So do you have something you want to say or something you want to show people how to do? Go on community television and do it. It's free, and it's also a lot of fun. I've also written an international newsletter that I called The Kingdom News. I started my newsletter sending it out to all the heads of the major ministries in the world, and while none of these groups responded to it, when I moved to California and ended its publication, I had 300 customers in all of the English-speaking countries in the world, and I never knew how any of them found out about it. I was already mailing it in the United States, Canada, England, Australia, and New Zealand, and one day I got a request from a lady in India to receive the newsletter. I never knew how in the world she ever even found out about it. And in my wedding business, during the last 19 years, I have married brides and grooms from all 50 of the United States and 28 foreign countries. I just added Croatia to the list. You know, I wish I'd kept a world map in my office from the very beginning and put a pin in every city where I had a bride or groom come from. But when I started my wedding business, there was no internet. No one could have possibly imagined what the internet was going to do for all of us. Who could have ever believed that some total stranger would someday call me from London, give me a Visa or a MasterCard over the phone to book their wedding at the beach in California, fly over the oceans, come across the country, and I would meet them for the first time at the beach and marry them. I wonder what it is in the future right now that no one today can even conceive of that's going to be possible. And you will only be able to appreciate and participate in any future inconceivable process to the extent that you are operating in your own personal sovereignty and your own personal power now. In addition to coming into life with a certain sense of my sovereignty, my mother also emphasized and taught us our autonomy as an individual. In the first place, she taught us that we weren't commonary people. This is what my little brother told his second grade teacher when she tried to address some issue with him. And he just stood right up and looked in her face and he said, "Miss Brown, I'll have you know, I am not a commonary people." And Mother taught us that the rules were for the common folk. She said that the majority of people couldn't think for themselves, so rules and regulations had to be made for them, but she indicated they weren't for us. We could think for ourselves, and we knew better than anyone else what was best for ourselves. So she taught us that we could do whatever we could think. And I remember when my granddaughter came out here to visit me when she was 8 years old, and I planned to take her to see an orange tree. Because I live in Orange County, and this whole county used to be orange groves. But today there aren't any orange groves in Orange County. But there is a small stand of orange trees on Jamboree Road that goes out to the mountains. So I planned to take her there to see oranges growing on trees and let her pick one. Well, we got there, and along the street, the curb was yellow where I was going to pull over to shore the trees. And she says, "Grandma, you can't park there. It's yellow." I said, "Well, yes, I can, Allie. And let me say, if a policeman comes along, I will just tell him that you are Allie, and this is your first trip to California, and you've never seen an orange tree before, and we're just going to stop here for a minute so you can see the tree and pick an orange for yourself." And if the owner of the orange trees comes out and asks what we're doing, I will tell them, oh, hi, this is Allie, and this is her first trip to California, and she's never seen an orange tree before, so may we pick an orange from the tree? And they will say, oh, hi, Allie, welcome. Yes, by all means, take an orange. And I saw a look come over on her face. It was a look of a feeling, maybe for the first time, of her own personal sovereignty. She felt important. She felt special. And she felt powerful. And I know that day I instilled in her a sense of her virtue that became part of her well-being. Because today she's an adult, and she stands her ground for respect. And just last week, her manager at the auto parts store where she has been working treated her terribly in front of all the other employees. It was in the very usual style of bullying that men use to keep women submissive and obedient. Now, this was an $8 an hour front desk job at the auto parts store, and he had been planning the schedule where he had been working her 7 days a week, but not giving her 40 hours, and she was tired of it. So she asked for a change in the schedule so she could either at least get a day off or at least get 40 hours a week. And he went off on this big tirade that was heard all over the store, completely humiliating her and beating her down into the ground. So she just walked out. She went home and told my daughter that was no one was going to treat her that way. And the next day she went out and got a job at a security company at $11 an hour. And she will wear a uniform and be in charge of checking people in and out at Ameritrade. She has been true to her personal sense of importance, and now she will have the power and authority of the security company to back her up. She's excited and she's proud of herself for standing her ground as a person and maintaining her sovereignty over her life. Maintaining your sovereignty means that you will seek for no answers to anything outside of yourself. You know, we have to check and double-check everything that's taught to us because we've been taught so much stuff from the systems of domination and control that isn't true. Never accept anything as the truth until you have checked it out for yourself. It could be truth, but not your truth. Too often, we always accept the truth of others, but you're not like anybody else, so it's not your truth. It's not what will really work for you. Our current value system is tied to money. We value something by how much it costs or how much we get paid. But money can't be a true value system for our total self. We are spirit, soul, and body. And if we were on a desert island, even if we had a suitcase full of money, it wouldn't help us very much. Money is a system of exchange. We exchange our money for something we want. The money itself has no value. It's a unit of exchange. So if you are under the influence of the systems of manipulation and control, you'll want to buy a certain brand of clothes or a certain purse or certain tennis shoes or live in a certain neighborhood because someone outside of you has set these standards of value and you want to fit in. You want to look successful, so wearing certain clothes or carrying a certain purse will define you as successful. But all that really happened is that those people got your money, and you have no real personal identity because you're just hoping that wearing those clothes and carrying that purse will make it look like you are valuable. The word value means a measurement, an appraisal, or estimation. It's a standard or yardstick by which groups assign value. I had a wedding several years ago in Newport Beach on a boat, and every single woman who came to that wedding looked exactly the same. They were all skinny blondes who had had boob jobs, were all wearing black mini dresses and high heels. And another time I did a wedding in Costa Mesa at the Marriott, and there was a motorcycle convention there, and there were all these men walking around everywhere in their black leather pants, their black leather jacket, their black leather boots with their beards and mustaches, and their Willie Nelson red handkerchief wrapped around their heads. When people do not have an individual sense of identity, they merge their identity into the crowd of like-minded people, and they feel their sovereignty in their being clones of one another. But for me, as soon as everybody else is doing it, I want to do something else. Think of how you would want another person to perceive you. When you meet someone for the first time, what do you want them to realize about you? What would be their first impression of you? Do you have your own personal brand? What do you think they will remember about you? Are you always in the process of becoming better, better at the way you look, better at what you do? Are you learning something new every day? Do you know why you are here? Do you know what your special gifts and talents are? Do you have a clear and performance-based objective for yourself and a deadline to get it done? Do you know how to prioritize and make decisions for yourself that are in your highest and best good? Let me read to you a list of synonyms for the word successful. Outstanding, prosperous, rewarding, strong, acknowledged, advantageous, at the top, auspicious, extraordinary, flourishing, out in front, thriving, triumphant, victorious, fortunate, undefeated, and the most wonderful word in the whole list, happy. Living your life in your own personal sovereignty not only is going to help you be successful, you will be happy. And this is the core destination that every single living soul is headed for, that we will have everything and everybody in our life that makes us happy. So happiness is going to be the value system that you use to activate your own personal sovereignty. Does it make you happy? Does your life make you happy? One of my teachers had her own simple system. She called it the yummy yuck system. Is it yummy or is it yuck? Does your life represent your autonomy, allowing you to operate in excellence, performing incomparably, living virtuously, giving the maximum of your abilities, being in charge of your life? What is it at the truest part of yourself that feels natural for you? Because that will be the path of least resistance. Whatever is easy and comfortable for you. And as you begin to honor the deep tendencies that have been present in you since birth and eliminate any driving motives from forces outside of yourself, you will find natural, effortless expression. And you'll no longer need to prove yourself to anybody or need validation from others for your survival. You become a co-creator with your source, and you manifest the fullness of who you are. You will begin to connect to your greatness and no longer connect to the grief or sadness or the mistakes of your life. And you'll begin to live out of your heart and become the true sentient being that you are, living sensuously with all the higher powers of sentience in operation. And we're going to talk about that in another show. But for now, just introduce the yummy yuck system into your thinking and being true to yourself and only choose the yummy. So one definition of sovereignty is queenly. And this week I watched the program about Queen Elizabeth during the time when Princess Diana was killed in the car wreck. And it showed the Queen's sovereignty in a most dignified and all-encompassing way. The Queen was not a big fan of Diana, and the circumstances of Diana's death were, in a way, an embarrassment to the throne, in two ways, actually, in the known infidelities of her son Charles, which precipitated the separation, and then in Diana's reckless and irresponsible actions afterwards that ended in the tragic car accident. A throne was not prepared, though, for the spontaneous and excessive outpouring of the world's grief. And the queen also was astounded at the public's need worldwide for solace and comfort. And the newspapers worldwide were criticizing the queen for her aloofness and unconcern. And her mother kept encouraging her to hold the precepts of the throne and to stay out of it, to maintain the dignity and the authority of the crown. And Prince Philip was outraged, storming around and offering rantings and ravings for the queen to stay quiet. And Prime Minister Tony Blair was caught between a rock and a hard place. The parliament and the press were screaming for the queen to make an appearance and to speak for the throne at this time. And all of this laid heavily upon the shoulders of the queen and her monarchy. So the program showed her getting into a jeep and driving by herself out into the lovely lands surrounding Buckingham Palace and spending time by herself by a quiet stream. And she pondered and she pondered and she pondered the situation. And then, acting from her own personal sovereignty, she made her decision about what to do. By herself, from her own deep inner wisdoms. And this is exactly how each and every one of us can live our life. We can take all of the input from all of the sources outside of ourselves, and we can give all that information from outside of ourselves our full consideration. But in the final analysis, we must go deep within ourselves and find our own personal truth and then act from that place deep within us. In the middle of your body, right between the breasts and below the rib cage, is an area known as the solar plexus. So I just suggest you place your hand there right now and feel this place inside of yourself, because this is where your place of intuition and source of divine knowledge is. And if you are all upset about something and being pulled this way and that way about some issue in your life, this area there will all be in a big storm. You'll probably have a stomach ache or heartburn or some other kind of physical symptom as well. Now, you want to wait until this area is calmed down and serene before you make any decision about anything. Wait until this area is quiet, and then place your hand there and go deep inside, and then you'll be able to feel your truth there, and you will know that you know that you know what to do, what to say, what to feel, what to be. This is available to you moment to moment in your life, because within this area is the wisdom and the knowledge to live your life in the fullness of your own excellence. You can live your life in your own personal sovereignty as the queen, in the fullness of your power, as a valuable and valued person. So I want to give you some sources of information tonight. so much galactic information is coming forth at this time. And even though we have not had any official announcement from the president about the presence of alien powers yet, just know they are here and they're popping up everywhere. They're here in disguise, so they don't look different than us. But believe me, they are here and they're beginning to speak. 12/21/12 brought the end to the old systems of everything. And now we are totally in new time here on Earth, which the aliens call no time. And it is a time for each and every one of us to become disengaged from all of the current systems of Earth and began to tap into the unity consciousness that is beginning to be heard all around the globe. Don't be alarmed about all the uprisings in these different countries. This is good. People are taking back their power. I'm grateful we have not been having any of those uprisings here, but it could be a possibility. But I believe we can take back our power peacefully just by disengaging. Get out of debt. Get your children out of public school. Get into a way of making money that is independent of the corporations. Quit watching television. Quit going to the doctor. Find out what your own personal gift of and talent is and start doing it. Now, here are the sources of information for you. First of all, my book, Seven Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right. You can download it for free at www.MrRightForMe.com. And on page 45 is the Hopes and Dreams page. Print this out and begin to do this worksheet every week for about 6 months or more, because this is going to help you begin to know your fondest hopes, your deepest desires, and your heart's longings, and will reveal your unique gifts and talents. Number two, there is a woman's movement on the internet right now. They are offering a course called To Unlock Your Feminine Power. You can look this up at e.femininepower.com. That's e.femininepower.com. It's starting in just a couple days. You want to get right on that. Number three, look at sovereignmedia.net. That's sovereignmedia.net. Listen to all their programs. Number four, look up Andrew Bartzis, B-A-R-T-Z-I-S, on Facebook and listen to all his programs. And here on Blog Talk Radio, there are several shows that are broadcasting the sovereignty, personal sovereignty, and unity consciousness messages, Walking in Energy, the Galactic History Show, and In 5D. Listen to these shows over and over and over. Quit listening to any of the current media. Turn off the television and the radio and go to the internet and listen to these wonderful programs. They are free, they are life-altering, they are self-empowering. When I went to that intenders meeting long ago and was challenged to set a new intention for my life, and at that moment I couldn't think of anything, as I began to open myself up to the idea of a new intention for my life, the idea of starting this radio show came. And now I have had over 31,000 listens, so I feel like I'm doing my itty-bitty little bit here. Just one person speaking her truth. And even though my ego would say, oh, you don't reach very many people, you know what? That doesn't matter. I can reach one person who might go and tell 10,000. Because I remember one time I felt so strong that I was supposed to go to the local charismatic Catholic prayer meeting in my city and take them the message of healing. And I joined the group, and as we were sharing around the circle, it came to be my turn to share, and I began to share the message of healing. And all of a sudden, this woman sitting across from me sprang out of her seat and lurched across the circle, reaching for my neck to strangle me. And the leader quickly came to my rescue, but when what I was saying to was explained to him, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "This meeting is being held under the power and control of the Roman Catholic Church and its doctrine. You are not welcome here." And he immediately and physically ushered me out. So I was sitting in this chair in the hall, dazed, since I had felt so strongly that I was supposed to go and do this. And this young nun came up to me and asked what was wrong. She was in her habit, and the skin on her face was as smooth as a newborn baby. I told her that I had been asked to leave and why, and she asked me, "What were you supposed to tell them?" And for the next 30 minutes, I gave this young nun my message. And later, I was to find out that this very group began to integrate into their prayer meetings prayers for healings with the laying on of hands. And I was to learn later that the new modality was introduced to them by this young nun. So I told one, and she told the entire charismatic part of the Catholic Church in our area, and from there it spread throughout the country. So I'm just to be true to what I'm supposed to do, and you are to be true to what you're supposed to do. And for me, for now, that's just being here with any of you who are choosing to tune in and listen and who are walking with me on this exciting path to boldly go where no man has gone before. To come into the measure of the standard of the fullness of source energy, operating as sovereign beings with the co-creative power of free will. I'm going to say that one more time. We're going to boldly go where no man has ever gone before, to come into the measure of the standard of the fullness of source energy, operating as sovereign beings with the co-creative power of free will. My music is by visionarymusic.com, music designed to help us make these marvelous transitions in our life. And until next week, at this same time, this is Marcy Ann saying aloha.